This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
The Indiana Pacers, this resurgent, ascending franchise, has punched their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second straight year. They have eliminated the 64-win top seed in the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they do it in five games by taking all three here in Cleveland.
Just couldn't believe it. Didn't want to believe it. Don't want to believe it. Still don't want to believe it. It's tough to win this league. Give them credit. We didn't do the things necessary. We're 0-3 at home. Let the city down, man. This place is special. This place is really special. We didn't get it done. Especially at home. That's what hurts, you know?
Frustration, I would say, is probably the biggest thing. I don't think we ever played up to our ability in this series, and that's credit to them. You know, they had a good game plan, but I would just say frustrated.
There's a lot of different things that happen in the game, so it's not just one particular thing that you could just say, but in those games, you have to win the ones that you can, and when you're up 20, you got to come out with that win. We did it multiple times, and we got to come out with the wins that we're capable of winning.
But winning is not easy. Some things have to go right. You got to play well. We have a window with this group. I believe in everybody in here. We're a good team. So get in the gym, weight room, nutrition, whatever the hell it is, and get back at it, because y'all going to write us the f*** off, man. But we'll be back. We let city down, let each other down. We'll be back.
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Audio courtesy of TNT. I got my thoughts. Would you like to take it away to start things off?
Totally sucks. Incredible that this all-time great Cavalier regular season, in which they may never win that many games again in a regular season. Last night, none of that stuff mattered to any of the fans. So I feel for them. I feel for anybody that started saying the things that you get a little crazy saying, like using the term special. Using the terms, hey, this is better than the LeBron years, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it better? It's better. Look, no drama, no drama. I feel better for anybody that wagered a lot of money. I had a lot of buddies with future bets with the Cavs last night, and these are people that normally don't bet the Cavs, so that's how special they thought this team was. And it blows. It blows because it's going to go down in the annals as one of the all-time great Cleveland, I don't know if you'd call it a collapse because it's over five games. Does a collapse seem like a right word? Is there a better way to describe what it is? Bad luck mixed in, right? Kenny Atkinson hit on that after the game. But I sat there kind of feeling like I know the league, and now I feel like I don't know the league at all. Because on no planet did I ever think the Pacers could threaten the Cavs to that degree and then just kick their ass in five games. Like, that was not part of any of the options that were out there before the series.
So it is a collapse. Game two, you're up by 20. Game five, you're up by 19. A hush came over the crowd, an audible one, to begin the third quarter. When you freak out like that, when you don't even run an offense, it was just basically heave the ball down court and take the first shot from anybody that was open from three in the third quarter. That's a collapse. To say that you're going to write us the bleep off, that's Donovan, right? And making sure that everybody knows that's right. Donovan Mitchell. Well, you know, people hear it, and I don't know if they know if that's Donovan or not. There's a lot of mumbling going on last night. There's a lot of sad people going on. That we're going to write, that you're going to write us the bleep off. Yeah, they're going to write you off. They're going to write you off. I think a lot of Cavs fans are going to write you off because this is year three. Year three where you have been out-hustled, out-fought, outworked, out-tough. And I don't just want to blow it up because I'm mad, and I'm mad right now. I don't want to blow it up just because this game, the season has come to a crashing end way before it was supposed to. I don't want to just blow it up for those reasons. But I have to be open-minded to anything. And the reason is like, well, Ken, of course, everybody's open-minded. I know that. But there were previously players that I found were untouchable. Evan Mobley, untouchable. Donovan Mitchell, untouchable. Like, those guys were untouchable. Now, I'm open for anything. Because this atmosphere that they have, it don't work. It don't work when the time is needed. And my issue with him is that I don't trust him. I don't trust him, and Cavs fans don't trust him, and nor should Cavs fans trust him. They're a likable bunch of guys. They are fine people, I'm sure. But when things get like this, they consistently fade and wilt and get pushed around. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for them. It's certainly embarrassing for the fan base, because I think a lot of people talked themselves into this team being a championship caliber team this year. And I think a lot of those folks are upset about this. I'm not going to sit there and scream and yell and give Keith what he wants with me all red-faced and making an idiot of myself. I look at this very deliberately and go, this is year three. I left my yelling after the New York series. I left my yelling after the Celtics series. Clearly, there's something amiss. Clearly, there's not a talent issue. They're a very talented team. They're more talented, and I'll still say this until I'm blue in the face and dead, they are more talented than the Indiana Pacers. But they certainly got pushed around. They're certainly a bad matchup for them, and they are certainly not where they need to be a championship-caliber team. So then changes must seem to happen, have to happen. And I don't know how they make those changes, considering everybody who knows basketball, from Zach Harper to John Hollinger to Jason Lloyd, who will join us at 9:01, tells us, hey, you're kind of up against it with the second apron here, and so you're not going to be able to do it. But I think the Cavs fans will worry about that down the line. This is the first reaction I've been able to have about this, and I just sat there in my office staring into the abyss, trying to talk myself into it. Halftime, I tried to talk myself into it. And there were a lot of people, Ken, you got to throw the ball to the block. No, they are who they are. They're not going to throw the ball to the block because they're not tough. So they're not going to be able to do that with any sort of consistency. They're a three-point shooting team. They live by it and they die by it. And when guys get nervous and they start chucking and taking terrible shots, then you're going to have what you had last night and you're going to have what you had throughout this series. When you're up by 20 and you're up by 19 in two separate games, you let those leads go away and you hear the crowd, you hear their nerves. That's a complete lack of trust. And something's going to have to change.
You went 0-for-3 at home against the Pacers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, so, that was, if you would have given me 1,000 things that could happen in the series, I would have said, well, that's the one thing that I guarantee is not going to happen. They are not going to lose all three of these games at home against Indiana.
I like that Donovan likes Cleveland. And I know he's talking tough. And I know he can't do it by himself. So I'm not like, it's not a personal dig at Donovan. It's just, this whole thing has to change. Because it's one thing to not win. I can deal with not winning. As a fan, I've really won one thing in my entire life. So I can deal with that. I can deal with heartbreak and disappointment. I've dealt with that my entire life. I'm from here, I'll die here. Those things I can live with. But not being a team that's tough, being a team that gets shoved around. We got people called. We got people who get paid to do this for a living, begging them to put in Tristan Thompson to go walking around with a baseball bat for retribution physically with these other players. I mean, that is sad and pathetic. And that ain't even on the people who get paid to do this or the listeners who are calling in or any of the other stuff. That's on the Cavs. That's on the Cavs. You're a bunch of grown men. I don't live in your world. So, I'm not trying to go out there and fight a bunch of seven-footers. I know that. But damn it, if Nick Wilson comes in here and takes pot shots at me and gets physical with me, well, there's got to be a problem there. If I decided to get physical with you, now, damn it, you should be able to lop it right back at me, whether it be with your words, which you are very cutting, or physically. Like, at some point, you're going to have to stand up for yourselves. This is 3 years of you wilting when the challenge was there. So nothing happens that makes me feel any better. The Celtics ain't going to make me feel any better tonight if they lose because Jason Tatum's hurt. It's just going to feel like another missed opportunity. So I am just flatly disappointed, disgusted, trying to find the words for it is a challenge because I still want to remain somewhat with it while not getting ready to verbally walk off the building. Because that's where I'm at right now, man. I'm at the point of saying things I can't take back about this group.
You used the term trust, and you said I can't trust them.
I don't trust them. I can't, I won't next year if they're all back together.
Is that a blanket statement for everybody, or are there individuals you omit from that? Because I do trust Donovan. And I got to tell you,
he's part of it, so I can't trust him.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he can, because you know what? He can only, because I can't trust him because he's a great player. He's a 6'3 guard, and he can't drag them all with him.
Well, sure.
He can't drag them all with him, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Donovan. I can't trust you, bud.
LeBron couldn't do that, 09 and 10.
I know that.
And he was the best player in the game probably at that point.
I know.
So I don't know.
But I didn't know you in 09 and 10. Yeah. Maybe I didn't trust him then.
I'm not saying that's acting like that's a condemnation of the whole team. I'm just trying to sort through. I think a lot of people today are going to go, that guy, no. That guy, no. That guy, yes. He's a keeper. That guy, no. And that's why I just wanted to be specific because – I mean, I can trust Donovan Mitchell. Like, that guy, he didn't have his jumper last night at all. You could tell he was banged up. He left for the locker room at one point, and then he willed himself to the free throw line 21, 23 times.
It's
like, that guy I do trust, and he was making big defensive plays as much as he could.
He's awesome, but it's the company you keep.
Okay, Evan Mobley.
Because I can't.
Can you trust Evan Mobley?
No.
Because I thought Evan Mobley needed the ball. I thought he dominated when he caught the ball.
But I can't.
I thought every time he caught the ball, he got to about 5 feet and scored.
Great. Well.
And then he didn't get him the ball. And then he made a defensive player of the year moment with like 4 minutes left that ignited a three on the other end and cut the lead to three. And I'm like, we're going to win the game.
I'm glad we have these awards.
Like Evan, I trust. So I'm not going to use the blanket. So I'll take issue. If you say you can't trust anybody. Well, then how many guys in the league do you trust?
Oh, only a handful. That's the case. Well, I mean, as a team, but there's teams I trust. Do I not trust the Indiana Pacers as a group? Do I not trust them? They just embarrassed us in 5 games, week and a half. Yes.
If they lose to the Knicks or the Celtics end up winning that series, do you lose your trust in them then? The Indiana Pacers. Because I actually trust Evan Mobley the most now.
No, I think Indiana's overachieving. I think Indiana's overachieving.
Well, you just said you trust them more than you do anyone on the Cavs.
Yeah. Because you're not surprised that they lost the series?
Are you saying that's an overreaction?
I believe that's an overreaction.
Why? How's that an overreaction?
I think that this morning, the day after they have lost the series, you were overreacting.
I'm sorry. What team went out and beat the other team when they were 9-point underdogs, 8-point underdogs, 7-point underdogs?
Boy, Vegas was twisted in a pretzel.
I
series
think to
they
say
not?
You trust any everyone on the Pacers over anyone on the Cavs.
I didn't
is
say
an overreaction. Well, that's the way it came off.
I didn't say. Well, then you got to listen a little bit better, sir, because I didn't say one for one. I said group for group, and because Donovan is only a 6'3 guard, and I know he's a great 6'3 guard. I'm sorry. He can't drag this collection of stiffs with him. LeBron could drag a collection of stiffs with him. Go back to 07. That team was garbage around him, with the exception of a couple of guys. God forbid. I'm not going to say anything bad about Zydrunas Okauskas. I'm not that mad. I'm not that mad.
I trusted Z before the 30 screws were pinched.
LeBron could drag a collection of stiffs. Let me say it for the record. It's not you, Donovan. It's the company you keep. And I don't think that, as I look at it right now, guys, we might just be stuck. So we're going to take calls over Giannis and LeBron and you name it.
Everybody.
Everybody. And I don't know if there's a damn thing they can do about it. So if they go to next season and it's the Core Four, which is a terrible nickname for a team that can't get out of the second round of the playoffs, who's you going to trust them? Ain't no one going to trust them. Ain't no one. 12-year-old kids will trust them. My son will trust them because he's a fan and he don't know any better. But his daddy, my cousin, where he takes his kids, he's a season ticket holder. The neighbor down the road, the grown men, they ain't trusting. They know better. They know better. Until they prove it.
So I thought it was very interesting. Kenny Atkinson yesterday.
I thought it'd be you that got me loud. It was Owen.
Very reserved. I enjoyed that. It was nice to just kind of sit that one out. Watching Atkinson. So he was very reserved, right, the whole game, which I was getting tweets about. People were not happy that Atkinson wasn't madder and pacing up and down. That's never been his style. So when they hired him, they were not getting a guy who was going to be Bobby Knight on the sidelines. That was never going to be part of that. And that's what people really liked about him. Cerebral, strategic, analytical, intentionality. All those terms is what people liked about him all year.
Foie gras, right?
Yes. But until they didn't like it. So, right, like the honeymoon is over for Kenny. Kenny vouched for his guys big time. Now, and so did Donovan. That's in front of the mics. What are those guys saying behind the scenes? Because I will tell you, Kenny Atkinson and then all the members of the team, and it all started with Kenny, mentioned toughness, mental makeup. It got mentioned like 34 times yesterday. So can you, and this is a larger, big, comprehensive theme question. The toughness, you know, you can work out in the weight room, but like Okoro's big, but is he tough, right? So there are questions like Donovan Mitchell, I think, is tough. Like I watch him battle. I have no issues with his toughness at all. But mental, is that something you can improve, or do you either have it or you don't? And that's an entire question that the offseason they are going to be mulling over.
My biggest issue is that if they're saying it that much in a post-game press conference, they didn't just think of that in the moments it took between the game and the press conference. They've been talking about that for a long time. So again, what's changed? What's changed? What did you do to change? You didn't do enough. I can't say nothing because I don't know, but you clearly did not do enough. So yeah, the trust is out the window. No, absolutely not. 216-474-0092. All right, what do you want to do with them? What do you guys want to do with them? You can't just say put them in a boat and ship them over Lake Erie to Canada. You can't just say that. But what do you want to do with them? 216-474-0092.
I know that we're allowed to exchange.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you want them Cavs to toughen up, Joe Vardon was on with the afternoon guys, the afternoon drive boys. And it feels like Donovan, he's saying, if you want them Cavs to toughen up, boy, it's on you.
When I listen to him after game five, knowing him as I do, he is too smart to be like saying that in earnest. So what was he doing? He and I haven't had this discussion. So yes, this is a little bit of conjecture on my part. But knowing him as I do and laying out what I just laid out, I believe that he was opening the door and or encouraging the criticism to come forth in the specific areas for how this team got beat. He knows he didn't shoot it well. He knows there was one bad turnover at the end of game two, but he knows he played his tail off. He knows he played hurt. He knows he averaged 32 point whatever points per game. He knows that. He's not even expecting the criticism to come at him. He knows which players and like collectively what happened. He doesn't want to sit up on the dais and say that. You know, saying what he said certainly opened the door for some of the individual, like sort of point by point, well, this is what went wrong and this is what you guys need to fix so this doesn't happen next year.
That's Joe Vardon yesterday. Hear that, 92.3thefan.com, 92.3 the fan on Odyssey, on the free Odyssey app. Hearing him say that, boy, that I think it's a hell of a point by Joe that, you know, guys will talk through the media all the time. And Donovan, maybe he's done everything he can to say something to some of these guys about the toughening up. What's the definition of that? I think we've gone over that over the last 3 days. But when you hear Donovan, that maybe he meant that, maybe he did. I mean, you remember he goes, you guys are going to write this bleep. You guys are going to go after us. And, you know, rightfully so, you know, that type of thing. Maybe he's saying, hey, be mean. Be mean to him. Be nasty. Because you can't be mean to Donovan. Can't be mean to him. If I were to start, you almost trapped me the other day on Wednesday morning about Donovan. I go, no. Physically, I just don't think he can do what a lot of those players who are all-time greats, the elite of the elite, not just Hall of Famers. Donovan's a future Hall of Famer. But the elite of the elites, I don't know if he can physically do that. He's only 6'3". He's not that big. But if he's not a leader, I don't know what is with this team. So I'm not going to sit there and say that he needs to go or anything like that. But I think he's telling us maybe we need to be mean-spirited towards the Cavs and get their act together.
Well, I think he's sending a message, whether it's to his team or whether to Kobe, that they're really good. They are very talented. They have a chance to continue to get, you know, even better. But we have to figure out why everybody after the game is talking about toughness and mental issues. Because they know they at least in their heart, they think they're talented enough. And they certainly had enough talent to beat Indiana. I mean, I would argue, even banged up, they had enough talent to beat Indiana. Like, I don't think they were so injured that they couldn't get past the Pacers. Maybe, you know, if you would grant me, like, okay, if they were playing a healthy Boston team, yeah, then Darius with the toe issue, Evan seemed to recover by the end of the series with the ankle. And honestly, even DeAndre Hunter seemed to recover by the end of the series with the thumb. they had enough talent to beat this team. Like, yeah. I'm not going to use that as an excuse on why they lost.
I still say they're the better team. I know that sounds like a loser's lament.
Better team doesn't always win.
I get that. Yeah. Tough guy fan out there says that that's a loser's lament, and guys, I totally understand. But damn it, that's why we're so disappointed in this, is that I know that you're the better team.
It's not only that they lost, by the way, it's that they lost in five, and they lost every conceivable way. They had a blowout loss. They had a game in which they were up 20 and blew in the final 45 seconds. Like, they had a different way to lose every single game. They had, you know, bad shooting games throughout every single game. It's why it's going to be tough going forward to just assume anything that happens in a regular season is going to pop up again in the playoffs. Like, this was the best shooting team in the NBA this season and one of the historically great shooting teams. And they had a whole series where you couldn't shoot it from three. So, you would think that would normalize over the course of a series. It never did.
I want to play some Donovan here. This is Donovan from the other night after they lost. Here's Donovan Mitchell. And Mitch found this for us because maybe this is where he's going. Joe Vardon is going with this on how Donovan sounds in the media here.
I told you during the year we're going to be judged off this. There's going to be a lot of talk. That's what comes with it. We didn't capitalize. So now we got to use this as motivation. Everybody's going to write us off. Everybody in here. I mean, it's not personal. So what are we going to do about it next year?
I told you about this. Is he also saying I told them about this? They knew about this. This is still not where we've paid the fiddler. We are still not where we need to be as a group, because I think that he ain't stupid. He knows that. I mean, we're talking about Drew Holiday and stuff like that, which we will get into coming up in a little bit again. But that's a three-team trade that needs to happen. I mean, there's a lot of things that are just prohibitive. The names that people want to bring up, you just simply can't do it. And I think he knows what this team is, and I think he's sitting there going, damn it, I know we're better than this team we just lost. We just got embarrassed by. So what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, every single trade machine image that people send to me, none of them can even really work. Like, the trade machine hasn't even kept up with the actual CBA. Rules of the CBA.
Yes.
So none of these, you can't aggregate salaries, you can't do two for ones, you can't take more money back. Like, there's all these different provisions. You don't have your exceptions. So it just keeps going on. Like, it's really hard to make a deal that works. And this is a tough spot. It's a really tough spot because Darius, for instance, is so valuable to them in the regular season. Jared Allen has been so valuable to them in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, like, the two of those guys continuously shrink for whatever reason. Like, I'm trying to be as fair as I can, because Darius had to wear special shoes to even get through the series, tripping over himself. But then you have to ask a larger question. Will he ever make it to the finish line? Is he a guy that is equipped to do that? He's one of the smallest guards in the NBA, starting guards. So will he ever be able to make it to the finish line? The way that they allow hand-checking, grabbing, clutching, physical contact. You can foul guys in a way in the playoffs. You can't do it in the regular season.
You have to think first about holding on to the players that you are. Not holding on to them, but you have to make do with the players that you have, which is still a talented 64-win group. Say what you want to about the regular season. I think what you're saying is true. I don't know about replacement just yet. I think you got to think about these guys before you replace them. I simply want to know, do you think that Donovan wants us to be mean to the Cavs? To the rest of the Cavs? I'm not going to be mean to Donovan. I really don't want to be mean towards any of them. They're nice guys, but damn it, nice is... Well, you're not finishing last, but you're not moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't know. Maybe this is where we disagree. I think his statement was directly to the organization, and that was more than anything to the fans. I mean, what do the fans have to do with it?
Well, I think he's saying that he, in so many ways, I think he's speaking to them. It's not a plea to the fans.
Just because the fans can't help the team get better.
It's not a plea to the fans to cuss out the team, but I think he's saying that, like, you guys got to get it going. And the only way, if it's coming to holding people accountable, do we need to try to hold them accountable? To be as New York about it as we can, where they will turn on the Knicks on a dime. I'm asking, do you think that he thinks that we need to do that?
No,
that we need to be meaner or stronger towards this Cavaliers team? Because right now, I mean, it's been very kumbaya over the last couple of years. Do we need to maybe hold them to a higher standard?
I think we do. I mean, I think the anger that I'm seeing right now with the fan base seems to be like, you guys kind of prance around all regular season. You guys you know, you have that look of a team that thinks they are going to win the championship, that should win the championship. You dominate all these other teams. You clown on these other teams. And then you played a team that Vegas thought you were way better than. Each and every game, Vegas had you as the favorites. And in many of these games, double-digit favorites. And then you came up short and came up small again, which almost happened against Orlando last year. Certainly happened 2 years ago against the Knicks. And I think that's where the fan sentiment is. Like, why should we get invested in this team as a true contender when you guys aren't really true contenders?
But I keep going back, and I think that's true, and I keep going back to what Brad Doherty had told us at the onset of this series about he said it was going to go seven, and I think, man, the more I listen to that interview, I went back and listened to that interview. It sounded like he was trying to be nice and he didn't want to take the Cavs to lose. I think he was concerned about the physicality of the Indiana Pacers, the length of the Indiana Pacers, and what this Cavs team was going to do about it. I mean, this is a guy who knows the game, who watches the game. He's watched the Cavs all year long. He's been on the broadcast. And I think that he paid attention, because it was easy to pay attention to Indiana during the Heat series, because the Heat weren't trying. And I think he might have saw something going, hey, man, some of this is going to bleed into the regular from the regular season to the postseason, because you watch those games against Indiana. I mean, hell, you lost 10 games at home this year. Indiana won five of them. They didn't lose at Rocket Arena this year. The Indiana Pacers didn't. And how do they do it? Elbows. How do they do it? They got their shots off, yes. They threw the ball to the block. They defended you. They gave you problems. The ball pressure, my God, that's old high school stuff, it seems, and you couldn't get out of it. And I think Brad Doherty was trying to tell us, like, hey, man, you guys better. And it was a Friday, and you and I didn't want to, like, have, like, a downer before a series started.
Yeah, we were surprised.
So you and I were like, oh, yeah, well, Brad's still taking us to win. I think Brad's kind of telling us, like, hey, guys, you better. Better hold your horses. Like, this could be a dangerous situation. And it ended up being a dangerous situation. He knows. And if Brad Doherty knows, I think Donovan's got to know, doesn't he? Doesn't he? So I'll ask you guys. I've had some people on hold here. I'm going to get to you guys. 216-474-0092. Does Donovan want us to be stronger willed towards the Cavs? To hold the Cavs to a higher standard? To hold the Cavs more accountable? That it's not just fun and games anymore and cavalanches and fake snow coming out of the ceiling, which, boy, that sucks because that's a lot of fun. Do you think Donovan wants it that way? And do you think Donovan was sending a message to the organization as well?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
No 1 o'clock games for your Cleveland Browns. Or excuse me, all 1 o'clock games for the Cleveland. Boy, I'm messing the schedule up left and right. All 1 o'clock games,
they're
no primetime games.
Times
they're playing
now.
3:22 games. You know what? The NFL, okay, we always talk about the power of the NFL. The NFL doesn't have to fix anything. But couldn't they stagger the games throughout the day?
What do you mean?
Instead of all the games, I know people love their red zone and all the games ending at the same time, but counterpoint, wouldn't it be better if you had a slew of 1 o'clock games and 2 o'clock games?
Do it like the tournament where every 30 minutes there's a tip-off?
Because why do I want three awesome games ending at the same time?
Because there's only two networks. There's only two, and they want in each of their zones, their broadcast regions, they want the most eyes they can. They don't want anybody tuning out. So they want to keep them. So
That's probably true.
I think that the red zone thing is a go behind. I've warmed up the red zone over this last year because, I mean, I got to be honest with you, in the month of December, there were a lot of Browns games on. I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and turn the volume up on the red zone here and turn the volume down on the Browns. And
I know at 1 o'clock on Sunday, even if the Browns aren't playing or the Chiefs aren't playing, 1 o'clock CBS is going to have a game on, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm going to go watch it. Yes. And I don't care who it is. And it could be two horrible teams, but it's generally not two horrible teams.
It was hard for me to do that last year, too, because then you have to admit to yourself that they are not trying. And so what's the point of me taking all these notes and being this way? And I think a lot of fans agreed. I did think, though, the Minnesota game, I did say, if you have a flexible definition of prime time, 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday, the whole world is watching.
That's true. That's true. You know what?
That's prime time, brother. They're watching in Brazil. They ain't watching you at 1.
I do love...
4:25, maybe even a Monday night.
So they've expanded the international schedule, right? Are we playing more international games this year than ever before? Yes. Are they all fitting under the 9 whatever? Or
all
are they
except for sure. There is one in Sao Paulo, I think, or in Brazil that is not... I don't think they have a time yet for that.
Okay.
No, I take that back. That's the Friday game after the Thursday night season opener. Yeah. They do a Friday game.
Oh, okay.
The 1 o'clock games, I'm just happy. I'm not mad that they didn't get a primetime game. You have to earn a primetime game now. I think I like this better. I like this better because now before, you know, you would just go, okay, there are certain markets like, Dallas is going to get put on it because it's Dallas. All right, that's the one that separates it. Probably Giants, I don't think as much the Jets. Probably Rams, I don't think as much the Chargers, right? Depending on star power, which one's which, whoever. Maybe you'll get some of that. But the other ones is like, no, you have to earn it. Tennessee, I don't think Tennessee got a primetime game, and they got the number one overall pick in Cam Ward. So on the initial schedule.
Oh, that answers the question. I was going to ask you if they would have taken Shador Sanders number 2 overall, did they get a primetime game? But you're telling me the team
that... seems that they didn't. No, they wouldn't have. So I find this to be, okay, it's a primetime games or a reward for your fan base. But at the same time, I mean, we had a bunch of primetime games before, and some of them are just more fun than the others. Thursday night football is fun, even though that was a requirement for so many years, so it took the special quality out of it. Thursday night football was a lot of fun. I think Monday night football can be good. Sunday night football is horrific. The wait is interminable. NBC does a fine job. Mike Tirico is a good guy and comes on the show and all that stuff. But Sunday night football, I remember that game they played the Rams, and waiting all day for that was the worst. It was a 93-hour day. It was just the worst. And then they lose, and you look up, and it's midnight, and I'm going, I got to be up in 3 hours. I might as well just roll all the way through here. And it was terrible. If they never play a game on Sunday night again, I'll be happy. You want to give me Monday nights and Thursdays and Saturday evenings, and I'll take Christmas and Thanksgiving over Sunday night, friend. I'll do that every day. But I don't mind a 1 o'clock game. I don't mind it. I like getting up early. I like getting over to the stadium. I like the quietness of the stadium when you go in, the people walking around, the scoreboard, as they're working some of the stuff of the scoreboard, and you see the things rolling over. I just enjoy that. That's me. And I know that everybody else has their little things that they like, but if they go out and they surprise some people, because it is a tough schedule. There's no doubt about it. It is a tough one. as much as I want to poo-poo on it, I was a little confused by the overreaction, I thought, to the doom and gloom of the schedule. We knew this. We knew who the opponents were. We knew that they were going to be lined up in some fashion at some point here where you were going to have to play multiple tough teams back-to-back. I didn't know it was going to be at the very beginning, I'll tell you. But we always knew we were going to have to play Detroit at Detroit. So I thought that some of the doom and gloom was overdone. But what this will do, hey, if you end up getting Shedeur Sanders going, or you end up getting Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel or any of that going, and you end up maybe a little bit better than what people think you're going to be, Lima's saying 3-14. If you end up 7-10, somewhere in there, and Shedeur looks good, or Dylan looks good, or one of the other ones, well then, damn it, maybe you're going to get some primetime games next year. So I'm fine with making them earn it. That's perfectly fine with me.
And obviously, maybe it's, I've done this long enough, and our hours are hours that, you know, the 1 o'clock game just fits perfectly into our lives at this stage. I don't know. Is there anything else that conflicts with Sundays at one? It seems to me to be a pretty solid time.
And I'll tell you, some of the time when they win on a Sunday, like a Sunday 4:25 game, they win, and it's like this race to get all my thoughts written down, all the topics written down before the evening, before it becomes too late of an evening. When they win on a 1 o'clock on Sunday, I get to watch the post-game press conference. I get to listen. I call you. Sometimes the weather's still good outside. I still got daylight out there. I sit out there on the porch.
Oh,
there's
drinks. He's painting cigars. A beautiful picture
right now.
People
are walking by. It's almost like it's a wonderful life, but the weather's good, and they're walking by because all of a sudden everybody's walking up and down the neighborhood at 3 in the morning for whatever reason in that movie. Like, it's just, it's so nice.
By the way, I know it's nice to have the Sunday dinner home cooking, but if you go out and pick up food,
yes,
like Chinese,
and people
got their brown stuff on, it's pretty fun.
Yes. That is the best. It's the best feeling for a guy like me. So I don't mind. I don't mind a 1 o'clock Sunday. Get it in, get it out. And if they end up surprising some people, God bless them. I hope so. I think it's going to be a weird year. And I think that there's a lot more pressure on us than we think. Because the worst possible thing that could possibly happen to this team is they fire Kevin halfway through the year because of how this record starts. I'm going to be sick. Because now it's not just, remember, you're not just letting go of the head coach. I'm putting my two rookie quarterbacks, I think, in perilous danger. Because I already don't know if I trust everybody who's come in. I mean, Tommy Rees seems like a decent enough coach, but I don't know yet. Bill Musgrave seems like a good coach. I don't know how this is all going to shake out yet. I got two rookies I have to work out with. They're going to probably make the active roster here, no matter what anybody wants to say.
Well,
so now I have to put them in the best position forward. And if I got the guy who's calling the plays, they cut the head off that snake, I'm just going to feel like, man, you wasted last year's draft. Now we got to get ready for this year's draft. Like, what are you guys doing? To me, it has to be an all-out mutiny this year for him to lose his job. I see this schedule, and I'm going, man, I'm a little bit nervous. If you go to London and say that season hasn't started great, I don't want to be coming back from London and talk about replacing guys.
I know.
I'll be sick.
Just the Shedeur part of this, because you brought up Cam and how they don't have the big time games either. How are we in a bubble? How famous is Shedeur? Because I was putting him up there with Johnny Football and Tim Tebow. And is he not as famous, or is it that there's a quarterback competition?
I think he's very famous.
So it's the fact that because if he would have gone 2 overall, he would have been the guy. But because he didn't go 2 overall and nowhere near it, he's not the guy.
I think that there's also with the networks where they're going to get a lot of power here, I think there's a level of trust that they just do not have with the franchises. Tennessee has been a middling franchise themselves. Even in the final couple of years of Mike Vrabel, you could see them bursting at the seams and some of the decisions that they've made. The Browns have been rather chaotic. They've had a couple of good years here over the last 6 years, but they've had a lot of really bad years here also over the last six years.
And
I think they're just going to make him trust.
Joe Burrow, his rookie year, did Cincinnati immediately get national games?
He got hurt, didn't he?
He did get hurt. I don't think they got a ton of national games.
But I also think the rules, like this is the first time we've seen like, hey, you don't have to have a primetime game. Everybody had, like, it was always this fun kind of weird tradition on a Thursday night where, all right, here's the Jacksonville Tennessee game. It's our yearly visit with Jacksonville and Tennessee. You don't have to have that anymore. So now you have to earn it. So this is different now. But I'll take 1 o'clock games, and if we go to 2026 and maybe we're 7-10, which I think a lot of guys are just laughing at me as I say something like that, okay, then we should probably have some primetime games, because that would mean if you're 7-10, somebody at your quarterback position will have had to have played well, will have had to have played really well and given you some spark for this year going into next year. So I know this is great. This is a nice kamikaze mission for me. I know I'm going to lose this argument with everybody. I know that's going to go down. But I know from my history, I have been right several times while this station has been on the air. And I think I'll end up being right again if they do something like this. You can't just throw some quarterback out there. Now, if they figure out during the year, I can't hear you, friend. Oh, we have a contest. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I apologize. Well, you could have just yelled it at me. That's fine.
Oh, I did.
We're giving away tickets to Jason Aldean, Blossom Music Center. It's part of the Minutemen Workforce's Solution concert series, End of the Word Trouble, which was a great Travis Tritt song. But Travis Tritt ain't going to be there. It's Jason Aldean. So go ahead and enter the word trouble by the end of this hour at 923thefan.com to get registered to win. Trouble. T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
That's technically the Travis Tritt song. It was not the word
really?
Trouble.
It was T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
Really?
E.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
Because I just put it in on my music stuff. I just put in trouble. That's a good song.
You know
song.
What? You should have known that. I'm leaving because you didn't know that.
I knew it was going to happen.
Oh, and real quick.
He's out of here.
Did you ever see Son-in-Law? You remember the scene with Tiffany Amber Thiessen into that song? Oh, my God in heaven. That's a good movie. That's a much better movie than people want to realize, because everybody likes to make fun of Pauly Shore.
Right now.
All right, back to the... I love these arguments because I know I'm going to be right in the long run. And I actually hope I'm wrong. But I don't know if we'll ever know the truth. Because Dan Orlovsky said that he would just put Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gaber out there week one. And it basically made it out to be sink or swim. Now, I think that if Dan Orlovsky had more time, because he ain't an idiot, it just sounds silly to me, he would know that, hey, training camp, they see these guys, this, that, and the other. Because, man, we've been in this situation before. We've done this with quarterbacks. We did this with DeShone Kizer. I think we did this with Colt McCoy. I think we did this with a lot of guys. And I end up losing this argument because we just want to be entertained. We don't think the Browns... how many people looked at me like I had lobsters crawling out of my mouth when I said 7-11 earlier this morning? Because, one, I said 7-11. Two, they go, you're going to win seven games? So 7-10. I say 7-10, and I think people just think I'm an idiot for saying something like that, and plus some of the other stuff. I think they just think that this team is going to be a three-win team and that we are in the market for name them, Nussmeier, Sellers, Mendoza, Aller, whoever it might be. We are in that category. We are watching the Jacksonville Jaguars and their schedule and seeing what they end up doing. What record they get. By the way, 9:45, I'm going to throw this at you. I want a record for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the end of the year.
Ooh,
what you actually think they're going to finish.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. That's what this show does. It keeps you listening. You didn't pick up on that, did you? That's an inside of an inside joke. So anyway, I know I'm going to lose this because these guys are Christmas presents. Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, guys, they're fun. And I got to tell you, there's nut jobs on the internet for each one of these guys, and they will go after you. I mean, if you're respectful and everything, it's fine. But it doesn't matter. If I say that Shador's great, why didn't I say he was really great? If I say that Dylan Gabriel threw the ball hard, why didn't I say that he threw the ball accurately?
Oh, God.
Those type of things. But, guys, I'm having way more fun with that than I've had with anything over the last 3 years. So keep it coming. I do not care. I'm fun with all of it. But I also don't want to put them out there before they're ready. Yeah, I had to teach my kids how to ride a bike. I didn't just put them on the bike. You got to teach your kid to swim. They're not dogs. You can't just throw them out there in the pool. I got to teach my son how to drive. I can't just put him in the truck because he's going to drive someday. I can't do that. And they got to show these guys, no matter how much experience Dylan Gabriel had in college, Shedeur Sanders, he's had a boatload of experience himself. I don't have the amount of games right off the top of my head, but he started a bunch of games at Jackson State, started a hell of a lot of games.
24 more at Colorado.
Yeah, 24 more at Colorado. So he did a fantastic job. I hate when people bring up the wins, losses. I think that's dumb. But if they're not ready, we cannot make the same mistake and say, well, you're never going to know until you know. No, I want to be as close to knowing as I possibly can. Because if it don't work out with these guys, that's going to mean a whole bunch of changes that I don't want to make. I don't want to make. I don't want to do new coach radio. I don't want to be looking for new general managers. I want this thing to work out. I'm going to want the thing to work out with the other guys. If they end up being here, I don't care. You can't do this. You can't just throw these guys out here. Just saying. But I know I'm going to lose this argument. So away we go. Cameron in Cleveland. Hello.
Hey, Ken. I just want to say, big fan of the show. Sorry I'm at work right now, but I completely agree with you. But here's the thing is that as a Browns fan, like, who would have thought we'd be talking about this 2 years ago? But if I'm going to be drunk and stumbling at that stadium and watch a 3-14 team, I want to be having my wrist up when I'm walking across that bridge because I don't care. I just want to see something entertaining at this point. It's such a circus with Barry and Stefanski. Harvard and Yale need to get their PhDs back or whatever they have because they're not even – I mean, these are supposed to be the smartest guys in the league.
You with the pen,
and they're making
man.
The dumbest decisions year in and year out. Like, it's ridiculous, but big fan. Appreciate you guys.
Camp, thank you very much for the call. Like,
I thought the Travis Hunter move was a good move.
I'll admit this. Can I just admit this? That was part of the reason I got so excited about Shador Sanders. I was like, I'm finally interested in something entertaining. This is going to be entertaining. This is going to be fun. I got nothing against this guy. Let's see if he can work out. That's what Lima, I admitted that to you. It's hell of a lot better than talking about the stuff we've been talking about the last 3 years.
100%.
So it's hard for me to be mean-spirited to a guy like that who, hey, you know what? I'm just going to the game, and I just want to see something entertaining if I don't think they're going to be very great. So I just want to do wrist up going over the West Third Overpass. That's what I want to do. I want to have my beer bongs over in the pit. I want to walk up, and then I'm going to do wrist up on the way down to the stadium. That's what I'm going to do. It's hard to disagree with that, man. This makes this an impossible argument for me.
Before you go to the phones real quick, can me and you do wrist up?
No. We are way too damn old to do wrist up.
Who gets to do wrist up?
My son, Cameron. I got Mitch. Does Mitch get to do it? Meredith, get on the microphone.
Would you do it?
We had to get a relief pitcher.
No, that's not my style. I like Shador. I like him a lot, and I really hope that he's successful, but I'm not going to be walking around wrist up.
If he takes over, what's the term to use, Kenny? It's not Riz. What is it now? We were talking about these terms earlier.
Aura.
If his aura takes over the city, transcends the city of Cleveland, then don't we all become, you know, part of this? Don't we all have to take part?
Sure, I think everyone can do wrist up if they want to.
I don't think there's
any reason why you can't do a wrist up if you don't want to.
I just worry about me looking silly.
You probably will, but it's okay. If Shador Sanders is out there winning game after game after game and everyone's super excited about it, go do wrist up.
Am I allowed to do wrist up or am I too old? I'm saying I think I'm too old.
Did we do anything for Baker?
I am 38.
When he was humming?
I forgot we were doing that, but that was for Johnny.
Johnny, we did the money signs. We did, but it was mostly sarcasm.
Baker, I remember I was tugging at my garbage.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it was the same thing. He did that to Kansas. And then we found out from good old JR that Kansas was talking a bunch of trash.
They were, yeah.
Which, boy, that's stupid. I mean, you could have had dead people out there and Kansas was still going to lose to Oklahoma that day. I don't know what the hell Kansas was thinking. Chuck in Middleburg Heights, you're next up in the fan.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, Chuck. Go ahead. So,
this is my take. No way you throw the rookies into the fire game one. The NFL, too advanced sport to put these guys in.
Thank you.
Especially when you got Flacco in the back and you got hopefully Pickett doesn't make the team. But we definitely don't want to have these guys in there. Speaking of Flacco, Owen said Flacco was an instant pizza just waiting to get thrown in there when we need him. What type of pizza is he? Is he a DiGiorno's, Jack's, or Tombstone?
I said Jack's. He didn't give a name brand. We're not supposed to do all that, but I said Jack's.
Oh, okay. What you guys think about these rookies getting in, you know, like week 6 or 7? You should never put them in at the beginning of the season.
Well, this is the weird thing about it, Chuck. Thank you very much for the call. Is I don't want to do this either. So this is a moving target. I can't go, well, you can't put them in a week one. Why can't you put them in a week one? Well, that's the first game of the season. You can't go right from college to the NFL. Okay, when do you want to put them in? Well, we can't put them in against Baltimore. Why? They have a really good defense. Well, we can't put them in against Green Bay. Well, why can't you put it? Well, because they're really good. Like, they're all good teams. To a rookie, they're all good teams. The Jets are a clown car to us. I know what they think of us. But the Jets are a clown car. They still have pros over there trying to win. It's still a much higher level of football than anything these two are used to. So you're going to have to take care of these guys. So it doesn't matter if it's the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Vikings, the Bears, the Bills. It doesn't matter. San Francisco, guys, it don't matter. It does not. They're all pro teams. You got to figure out, is he ready? Is he ready to break down a defense? Is he ready to lead his team? Is he ready? Damn it, is he ready to tell a guy like Joel Bitonio that it's going to be different? Because Joel's going into year, what, 12? 11? Joel's been around a long time. Is he ready to command the respect of Joel Bitonio, of Wyatt Teller, of Ethan Posick? And you know what? Damn it, DeJuan Jones. DeJuan Jones has been in the league 3 years now, and he's been hurt each one of these years. You don't want to have his time wasted. Does he have what it takes to look those guys in the eye? You're going to have to look up at DeJuan Jones, but you get what I'm saying. That's what you have to prove. So far, 54% say, I am allowed to do wrist up. Whoa.
Boom.
Chris in California, am I allowed to do wrist up?
I don't care what you do, to be honest.
Come on, Chris. I need an answer.
No, I'm not. I'm not in control of you, but you could do whatever you want. So the reason for my call is...
Wow.
So how many opportunities has Kyler Murray had in the NFL, along with Bryce Young, maybe even Justin Herbert? So let's spin the narrative on Shedeur Sanders. Say he has Kenny Pickett's career. He's only had, 25 games to prove himself on his rookie contract?
Kenny? Yeah.
So what would Shedeur Sanders fans say if he was being treated like Kenny Pickett's career?
Oh, they would just blame it on the Browns. They would just say the Browns are a defunct organization or a derelict, however you want to say it. I probably used the wrong word there, but I've been speaking wrong all day for crying out loud. I said 7-11 earlier. I think they would just blame it on the Browns. I think a lot of fan bases blame it on the Browns.
I blame the Pittsburgh Steelers for Kenny Pickett's development. You know, I think, yeah, he was. Kenny Pickett was one drop away from mm-hmm. Devontae Smith of going 2-0 in his starts. Mm-hmm. So give the kid a chance, man. He hasn't had a fair chance. And that's my argument, and that will be my argument until he has a fair opportunity. Give him a fair chance. He hasn't even fulfilled his whole rookie contract.
So you want Kenny, so you don't care about either of these guys. You want Kenny Pickett to have a chance.
I want him to have a fair chance. He won't even be on the Cleveland Browns next year if he does bad or if he does good, whatever the case may be, because you guys didn't give him his fifth-year option. Just give him a fair chance, man. That's all I'm asking for. You give all these – like Justin Fields is getting a third opportunity in his career to resurrect his career.
But does the Pickett fair chance, does that come at the expense of the other guys?
I mean, what is it? It sounds like right now you guys are having a trial and error season anyway.
Well, we're talking about, I will admit, Chris, like Kenny does become an afterthought when you have two rookies.
It's wild.
I understand that, and I understand and
17 games in a season, and he's only had 25 starts, and he's had.
Ken could have used you to call in much earlier in the show.
Yeah, I could have, honestly. Well, Chris, and I thank you very much for listening in California and on the Free Odyssey app. I will address that when we come back. It is unfair, but that's the league. You ain't gonna believe this. I haven't ate ribs in a long time. We used to say,
"You're right." I don't believe this.
I haven't eaten ribs in a grip. We used to say that. Did you say that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What is
a? Ate a gank of ribs.
Can I ask you guys something? What is skibbity?
Okay,
I had this conversation last night with my.
What had the never hell heard is this skibbity
until earlier this week? Had never
they
heard this.
Say seriously? Skibbity. My 10-year. We had Jonah's birthday party. He's 6, right? And the cousins was over and everything. And it skibbity this and skibbity that. I didn't say anything. I just kept it in the back of my mind. And then yesterday at the TV station, somebody was saying that somebody they said the kids say skibbity now. And I'm going, what does that mean? What does it mean? Like, I knew what Axel yesterday tried to tell me what crash out was. And I said, son, I know what a crash out is. Stop it.
You're like the walking embodiment of a crash out.
I have a crash out every Monday after a Browns game, mostly. I had 14 crash outs last year. I had a crash out yesterday morning at one point. So I get that. What's the skibbity?
So even us asking this question, does it just make us seem more out of touch and older?
Yes.
But I also think if we started using these terms.
Keith just texted us, also hasn't seen his ribs in a long time. Okay. Hey-o.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, good jokes are good jokes. That was a funny fat joke.
If we started using these terms.
Crawford County's got jokes.
I think that's even worse. I think you seem more out of touch when you don't know the terms. You try to do a crash course. You use the terms to try to relate.
Yeah.
Then you seem even worse.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that. So I can't use skibbity in everyday conversation. If I say glow up on the radio, things like that, do they still say Stan? You're a Stan for something?
Oh, the flowers.
Who's
the giving of the flowers?
The flowers, no. I'm never going to tell some. If I'm saying it, I'm being extremely sarcastic.
So you're saying terms that I think 20-somethings are saying.
Are they still saying to give people their flowers?
Is terms that are, like, I don't hear my kids saying give people their flowers and things like that, but I hear Skibbity, Ohio, and Riz. And my son yesterday came home and said that he got like 4 or 5 different girls to ask him to sign their yearbook. He was like, my aura is at an all time high, right? Like, I'm not even saying it correct, but aura and Riz are two things definitely happen in my
language,
house.
Language evolves.
We used
it
to
evolves
say,
over time, and you know the older people don't get to pick how it works out. It's always going to be the younger people moving language along. I mean, when I was young, really young, I mean the 80s, rad and gnarly. Like those things
those
were
aren't fun.
Those things were all, but they were being used. They were 100% being
terrible,
used
though.
By everybody.
That movie Rad was pretty good.
But that's what I mean. It's always going to be terrible to the next group or the previous group.
I just want to know what skibbity means. I'm not going to hate him for it.
It's just an adjective, right?
I didn't say I thought it. Did I say I thought it was stupid? I don't think it's stupid. It sounds funny to me. But I don't know the other ones. What was something we used to say? Oh my God, we used to say tizzy. Like something was tizzy tight, and my dad used to make fun of me day in and day out for tizzy. Thought it was the dumbest thing he ever heard in his life. And you know what? Looking back on it, dear old dad was right.
I mean, there were some really dumb ones, like all that in a bag of chips.
That's really dumb. That's dumb.
I still say that every day.
No, you don't.
I do.
Also,
and then he gets a bag of chips.
I do.
You want to hear a dumb idea?
Of course.
Hit it!
Oh, wait. I'm not ready.
Whoops-a-daisy.
The more I think about it, the more I think the NFL should be in that business. They don't want teams to tank. They don't want teams to lose. If nothing else, if the NFL were able to implement a lottery system, they'd have one more night of ratings because they're doing shows for everything else. We're getting a schedule show on ESPN tomorrow. Schedule shows popular. Draft shows. Draft preview shows. I can't believe there's not mini camp and OTA shows already. So why would there not be a draft lottery show that would rate huge? Can you imagine a year where there was a top quarterback prospect of the year that Arch Manning comes out? A half-hour special primetime NFL draft lottery? Like, come on. It's a home run.
I was warned not to say this. Audio courtesy of ESPN, I'm guessing. I was warned not to say this years ago. I think that Adam Schefter, I don't got anything against him. I think he's more of a PR outreach for the NFL. I remember the first time I said that, somebody's like, you better not say that, Ken. I want you to know. Like, okay.
I mean, it's worked out for him. How could he be ashamed of it?
Yeah. They got nothing against him or his money or whatever. But if Adam Schefter's saying it, that means they're definitely thinking about it, right?
Oh, wow.
I think this is a terrible idea.
Wow, you're right.
This is an awful
idea. Let's parse this because he's right. It's a great idea for them to make money. And that's all the NFL does care about. So I understand that point of view entirely. If they get another night of people tuning in, I mean, they could sell that one event is worth probably just as valuable as an NFL game.
It is. If you wanted to, okay, how would you do it, though? If you wanted to do number one overall, maybe. But I don't want it the way the NBA has it now. The NBA way right now is not fun. As a person who's taken advantage of it.
Oh, it's the reason we have a championship.
Like, I don't think I would want to do it this way. So I think it's just fine the way it is. I understand that you could get another night of ratings and it would be a major moneymaker for them. But I think about everything else. Like, if you don't get that number one pick, or if,
Could you imagine if the Jets get a number one pick, what people are going to be saying? Well, New York market. Could you imagine what happens if the Chargers or the Rams, the Rams especially, get a number? Remember, Stan Kroenke is the one who started this whole thing about going to L.A. Stan Kroenke gets the number one overall choice. We already say it in the NBA. Half the people, most of the people, think the thing's rigged anymore. You can't have that in the NFL, a league that's constantly fighting accusations of rigging. Constantly. It goes out of its way. Guys, when they go on the road to Vegas, the Browns play the Raiders again in Vegas this year. When they go to Vegas, like, you can't walk through a casino there. If you're wearing Brown stuff, you ain't walking through no casino. And it's the same thing with every team because they are psychotic about it. They do not want any. That's why they fine and suspend Calvin Ridley for a year because they don't want anybody even thinking that their league isn't on the up and up. They fight that constantly. And if you have a lotto, you've just welcomed in the conspiracy. You've opened your door and welcomed it in. Unless a mid to small market team wins it every year. But you can't even say that because Green Bay's had good quarterback luck for 40 years, for crying out loud. If all of a sudden they have a crash out with Jordan Love and get the number one overall pick, and they got like Arch Manning in 2027 or something like that, people will be freaking out. You can't do that.
But
you cannot do that.
But you're acting as if conspiracy is a bad thing for something like the NFL.
I think it's a terrible thing.
It seems to me that anything to get people talking about their brand and every team and the commissioner and what's at stake, like, they love that stuff that drives conversation.
I disagree. I think they're in the business of wanting people to have the right conversations about them now. They can afford, like, there's plenty of entities. Hey, as long as you're talking about my sport, we'll figure it out from there. The NFL, they want to have the right conversation, and if they can't have the right conversation, they're going to do everything they can to have the right conversation. And I understand, like, from an NFL standpoint, you do not want to be getting to December, and I don't have the Browns schedule in front of me, so I guess Andy Baskin wins that argument once and for all. But you get to those December games, and I got hardcore Browns fans, guys with Browns tattoos, guys who have Browns cars and trucks and SUVs and all the other things, and it's a time-honored tradition going, yeah, man, I'm gonna put up Christmas decorations. I don't know if I might have it on the background, but I'm not going to pay attention. They don't like that. But I don't think a lottery is going to fix that, because then if you don't win the lottery as the number one pick, if you had a number one pick, if you would have got the number one pick over the normal system, if you don't win the lottery, well, then you're taking it away from me again. What makes the NFL so great is that we are all believing, whether it's true or not, that you have an entity that in any market, you have a fair shot. As long as you have the right people running things, you do it the right way, you're going to have a fair shot. I do not believe a lottery is the answer.
So I don't think the NBA even needs a lottery anymore.
I don't think they need an answer.
And I don't think the lottery has done what it had originally set out to do, because teams seem to be tanking just as much now as they had previously in the NBA. So it has not de-incentivized the tanking element. And in the NFL, teams tank like crazy. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen that in Cleveland.
I understand.
We've seen, I know, again, players are never tanking. I get that. The teams are. The organizations know how to lose games by which personnel they put on the field. And it's really not that hard. Like, they figured out, like, I saw yesterday there was a spat with somebody that covers the NFL, and he was blasting the NBA over their systems and why the NFL is so popular, and he used the draft as one of those reasons. I'm like, that's not really, has no reason. That has nothing to do with why the NFL is popular. The NFL is popular because they play so few games. People love the sport. They love the physicality of it. They love all the elements of it. That has nothing to do with their draft setup. But with that said, like, the NFL has just as many teams tanking as the NBA, do they not?
Yes, but
only one way to get better. There's only one true way, well, at least the way these teams think, is have the best shot you have in the draft and have as many shots in the draft as you have.
I think there's a couple of teams that might quote-unquote tank it out. I think a lot more teams are trying than what we think. Maybe that thought will change, and we need to reevaluate this over time.
Like, I think they all start out the season. Most of them start out the season by trying. But, like, once you lose your quarterback or you lose any real chance to make a run, and teams know, the organizations know by probably week 10 or 11 whether or not their team has a legitimate shot. And then we see it by their rosters and who they start at quarterback and when they go young. They know that those teams lose games, and that's exactly what they do, because they know you're not going to build through free agency in the NFL.
No.
You can steal a player here or there in trades, But in the end, it's a draft. If you don't draft well, you don't have much of a shot.
But what they've made it out to be is that if you have, and this year's draft wasn't the best example because it wasn't quarterback heavy, and you had Travis Hunter as a tremendous star, but it wasn't as star-driven as some of the other ones. I think that in most drafts, you are selling hope all offseason long. And you're selling, honestly, you're selling hope from halfway through the year on. And I think you take some of that away because then it becomes a guessing game. Then it becomes ping pong balls and a hopper. And I don't think it's necessary. And I think it adds way too many questions to the product that the NFL has.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.